Who's Uzbekistan? Where's Uzbekistan? Why Uzbekistan? How's Uzbekistan? Beck is in Uzbekistan. What's going good and what's going bad? As she's live from Tashkent, Uzbekistan, in the heart of Central Asia.
Ba-dum-ba-dum-bum-bum. What is it? It is season 4 of Who's Uzbekistan. And if you have listened to any of the other seasons, I hope you have followed and tracked, you know, kind of the ebb and flow and the arc and resolution and how this journey is entering its fourth year and its fourth season. If you would have asked me that earlier, would we be going this long? I don't know if I would have envisioned this. So today is Monday, August 26th, and tomorrow is Tuesday, August 27th, and that marks the precise three-year anniversary of the day that I arrived in Tashkent. And next door was when Afghanistan was collapsing with the U.S. withdrawal. So all of that was happening at the same time. So just lots of big milestones have anniversaries this week for me, none the least of which is Thursday, August 29, is my birthday. So now that I have set the scene here, season 4, we're keeping the same three questions. What am I excited about? What am I puzzled by? And how long do I plan to stay? So I've actually been back over a week and a half, and I just remembered the podcast. So sort of an indicator of how busy I've been and sort of an indicator of the amount of chaos I've been having. But hopefully finally settling into a regular routine now. So lots and lots of things to be excited about. So nice to be back here in my adopted home city and what that's like to be able to be in a pedestrian-based place, be able to, you know, walk around and take the metro and, just the general colorful aspects of living here have been very nice to be revisited. It was nice to be reunited with my stuff, which all had to be, you know, packed up for the summer. But I'm back in my hotel room with all my belongings organized as neatly as I possibly can make them. And yeah, to feel like, you know, I'm in my little hovel that is mine. So appreciate that. It took me, because of the jet lag and other chaos, it did take me longer to get reunited with friends than I had wanted to. But even though it took longer, I made up for in quality. So this past Saturday, I think for the first time in my adult life, certainly the first time that I can remember, I had a birthday party. And so gathered my friends and acquaintances for some pool, and then gathered a different set of acquaintances, except for a few of us carried over. So others of us left after pool and others joined in, and we went to my favorite Chinese restaurant. And a few of my closest friends were not able to attend because they were not back in town yet or had some other conflicts. But other friends were there and other acquaintances. And yeah, it was just really nice that, like, the community here, people are looking for things to go do. So people like to be invited to that type of thing, is the impression I got. And for the few people who were not able to attend, their reasons seem very legitimate. So went and played some pool and was able to reunite with my people here, and we just had a very large time. And yeah, then like I said, reunited with others at the Chinese restaurant. And yeah, it was just, my friends are from different parts of my life here. So different people from different friend groups of mine got to meet each other. So very low key, but meaningful for me when I think about all of the very lonely and crappy birthdays I have had in the past. One reason being that my birthday is always the first week of school in the States. But my hometown's gotten a different school calendar now, so that'll be a little different moving forward. But was different this year, so I just really decided to capitalize on that. So that was great. So as you can see, the list of things that I'm excited about just goes on and on and on and on and on. What am I puzzled by? My visa was not prepared at the time that I was expecting it, and it was just a really, really big disappointment. And I was really naive to believe my school that they would prepare that on the timeline we discussed. And, you know, then when it wasn't ready, you know, I just got a bunch of shoulder shrugs and smiles saying, well, the government's slow. Okay, well, we all know that, so we have to be fast if the government's slow. And it was just very, very disheartening. Yes, it was just very disheartening how it played out, and very disruptive that, you know, had to keep extending my housing in the U.S., getting my vehicle resolved in the U.S., getting my transportation to the airport lined up, getting my hotel room. You know, they had to know when I was coming here. So, you know, just created lots of chaos and frustration for everyone. And then the next big frustration is, you know, I've never said the name of my school on here, although it wouldn't take a genius to figure it out, but I'm gonna have to be very, very diplomatic in my next thing. There's some new management in my program, and but how my arrival was handled, I was very, very disappointed how I was treated by this person. I was very disappointed, and knowing that this person is now an important character in my career. And I just thought about, you know, that my complaints from last year were always with the business office and never with the instructional staff. And now that has changed. And I just kind of had to think to myself, what would an emotionally healthy person do? And that an emotionally healthy person would grieve the loss of the job I had and try to just accept reality, how the new job has morphed. And I'm parsing my words here as much as I possibly can. But, yeah. And so it's like, well, okay, I'm dealing with a box checker now. And where I had been, you know, very, very personally invested in my job, you know, really tried to capitalize on the opportunity, you know, between the visa and the other incident, I'm like, oh, well, really, I'm just a number on a page. And, you know, did the students pay their tuition is really the school's greatest concern, because at the end of the day, it's a business. And, you know, there is no concern for me as a person. So that was some really, really, really bitter pills to swallow and to just accept reality. But, so I just, cried and cried and cried. And then I just tried to, like I said, just be an emotionally healthy person and just accept the reality of it. And now I'll just, do my job in a regular way instead of having all this personal attachment and personal investment that I had had previously. So that's definitely been the frustration of the arrival. And then changing directions abruptly here. I've never been here in the heat. And it is maddening. Oh my God, the first couple days I was here in the chaos, it was 105. And, if you talk to anybody who's worked in psychiatric services, they will tell you it's a myth when we say that, people have mental health needs around the holidays. Sure, that is difficult, and when we have the shortened days during that time, but the time of year that people actually go crazy, it actually is in the heat. And the heat absolutely made me feel completely bonkers and is still, really zapping my energy. It's more in the mid-90s now, but it's just completely zapping my energy and, just slowing down my little brain. So, That's been tough to adapt with. As always, the jet lag is hell. I've crossed the globe now 19 times, and I know this game. And it does take me a solid 10 days to feel like myself. And, my school just doesn't care. And those of you who've traveled internationally, jet lag is not just about sleep. Jet lag is about cognitive function and, appetite, mood, apathy, irritability, all these things are affected by it. And again, my employer doesn't care. But I'm the one stuck. I'm the one stuck holding the bag. So, I always want to think that it's going to be better, but it's not. No, it takes 10 days. And it took 10 days. So, I just have to keep walking through it. But while I'm in that transition, I need all friends and employers to be supportive and compassionate and not think that I can roll in here acting like a normal person, because I can't, because my days and nights are upside down and my brain isn't working. So, those are definitely some of the frustrations I have had. But, as you can see, lots and lots and lots of other things to celebrate. Moving forward to how long do I plan to stay? So, I'm running into a deadline that I don't quite understand, but it has to do with my benefits from being a public school teacher. And that I will lose some of those benefits if I don't go back. So, probably that is what's going to be determining when this party comes to an end. But for now, I'm just grateful to be kicking off Uzbekistan 4.0. So, if you're listening from Central North Carolina, walking your dog, I'm happy you're listening. If you're listening from Washington State, newly retired, I'm happy you're listening. If you have found this podcast, hopefully, it was designed to be a guide for people moving here so that they would kind of get some information about what to expect. Hopefully you're adapting to living here in our adopted home country. So, until next time, I will look forward to seeing you later and letting you know what's happening in Uzbekistan.